continue to keep us safe here in Hunterdon and beyond. Want to thank the folks at Hunterdon County Office of Emergency Management, the Hunterdon County Department of Health, really helping us through these troubling and trying times. Want to say hello to Larry, who just said hello there on Facebook Live. So thanks, Larry, for watching. And again, if we can be a help, if the Office of Economic Development...
...to the words homework to home space work, because that's really where we are now. And to your point, many people have not ever had to do this before. Some people are already set up, and they've been working out of the house. But now you have two or three or four of the people in the house. So it's a different environment. Some people are used to that structure of being in the office, and their schedule is almost dictated by the surroundings.
We're showing since late August. So that's not moving in the direction we want to be moving in. And I think they can be both at once shocking, but not necessarily surprising.
President-elect Joe Biden set to deliver a primetime economic address on Thursday. He also tweeted on Wednesday, in a bipartisan vote, the House voted to impeach and hold President Trump accountable. Biden continues, now the process continues to the Senate, where he hopes they'll deal with their constitutional responsibilities. You're listening to USA Radio News.
For 3 years, you've heard me talk about MyPillow and the MyPillow Premium Pillow and how I get the best night's sleep of my life, how they don't go flat. They are washable and dryable and made in the USA. And it continues the MyPillow Premium Pillow special for Mike Lindell. A standard or queen size premium MyPillow, $29.98. You're saving $40. King size pillows, only $5 more. 60 day money back guarantee, 10 year warranty, made in the USA. Go to MyPillow.com, click on the radio listener square, use my promo code USA, or call 1-800-951-8175. And while you're at MyPillow.com, check out all the deep discounts on all the other MyPillow products. MyPillow.com, click on the radio listener square, use my promo code USA, or call 1-800-951-8175.
Delta Airlines will not let passengers check firearms on flights to the nation's capital for the next week. The policy starts this weekend and will last until Joe Biden is sworn in as the nation's next president. Delta CEO Ed Bastian telling CNBC they are on high alert because of recent events.
We are doing an awful lot in terms of gathering the information, talking to all of the intelligence agencies, and both federal and local, as well as FAA and TSA as well.
President-elect Joe Biden will tap current Deputy Defense Secretary David Norquist to temporarily run the Pentagon while the new team awaits confirmation of a permanent DOD chief. Biden also tapping former South Carolina Democratic Party Chair Jamie Harrison to lead the Democratic National Committee. Harrison lost the South Carolina Senate race to Lindsey Graham by 10 points, although Harrison outraised Graham. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Now you can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go. And pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
800-215-5141. 800-215-5141. That's 800-215-5141.
If you thought the House was done with impeachment, think again.
Georgia Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene announced Wednesday night that she would file articles of impeachment against President-elect Joe Biden on his first day in office. The freshman Republican tells Newsmax TV her motivations for filing those charges.
Yes, I would like to announce on behalf of the American people, we have to make sure that our leaders are held accountable. We cannot have a president of the United States that is willing to abuse the power of the office of the presidency and be easily bought off by foreign governments, foreign Chinese or Chinese energy companies, Ukrainian energy companies. So on January 21st, I will be filing articles of impeachment on Joe Biden.
From the USA Radio News Ohio Bureau, I'm Dan Naraki.
The Democratic-led House is likely to quickly table the motion. The Supreme Court voted 6-3 to reinstate a Trump administration rule that requires women seeking to obtain abortion pills to receive them in person at a hospital or a medical office rather than receiving them via the mail. Chief Justice John Roberts, siding with the Trump administration over the lower court, stated, "My view is that the courts owe significant deference to the politically accountable entities." For USA Radio News, I'm Tim Berg.
And good afternoon, everybody. On today's program, I'll be talking about the events surrounding the siege on the U.S. Capitol last week and lessons every employer and employee should learn from it. I'll discuss why image is everything is not just an advertising tagline, but should be taught to every employee from day one. And I'll review why I always say, if you say it, you own it. It's Thursday, January 14th, 2021, and I'll have all that and more right now on Taking Care of Business. Well, good afternoon, everybody. My name is Jim Gano, and this program is called Taking Care of Business. And for the next hour, we're going to talk about issues affecting businesses large and small here in the borough of Flemington in beautiful Hunterdon County, New Jersey, and on the national scene as well. Of course, I want to welcome everybody back to the program. I'm glad to be joining you as we kick off another year of Taking Care of Business. I believe this is the 10th year that I've been hosting this program. I had a little bit of a hiccup there in 2020 when we weren't able to broadcast from the studios, but we are back now. Did a few shows from my home studio, which was a lot of fun and also a little daunting sometimes. I would see the microphone in my office and say, oh, I have a radio show to write. So again, glad that you could join us here and looking forward to reconnecting with you. So welcome back to the program. And I've been, like I said, I've been doing this show for about 10 years now, and to reintroduce you to the program, Taking Care of Business is a show that I developed, and it's really for the small business owner and their employees as I discuss issues that affect them, such as sales, marketing, customer service, forecasting, goal setting, and as we saw last year, adapting. And I encourage you to email me with any questions or topics that you'd like me to discuss here in the program. I'll do the research, and then I'll bring it up in an upcoming episode. But for now, it's time to get started with this week's program. So welcome back to Taking Care of Business with Jim Gano. All right, let's get right into it here. First, some good news. There was no winner in last night's Powerball drawing. No winner in the Mega Millions drawing the night before that. So Mega Millions is now at $700 million. Powerball is at $640 million. So, man, you got to dream big because this isn't just a couple million dollars. We're talking $640, $700 million. What would you do with all of that? I always like to have people do that exercise and come up with their plan, you know. Is there a philanthropic arm? Bill Spadia on New Jersey 101.5 today pretty much had a similar topic. And, you know, people were calling in, oh, I'm leaving the state of New Jersey. I'm buying an island. I'm doing some crazy dreams. But needless to say, that kind of money can help families for generations. I think it can also help in your community as well if you decide to get philanthropic with that. Something that I'm very proud of that my wife is doing, and I don't know if you've heard of this program, it's called Lasagna Love. So the dish lasagna and love. And we had heard about this one night while watching the news, and this is a movement that's been going on across the country where you get teamed up or matched up with families in need, and what they ask you to do is bake a pan of lasagna and deliver it to these families. Now, this could be a family that normally wouldn't need any assistance. It may be a family that always needs assistance, but they need food. And look at that. We got windows everywhere here. So my wife was assigned two families, and she'll be making two trays of lasagna, and then we will be delivering them in the Bound Brook area on Saturday afternoon. So looking forward to being a part of that and supporting Lasagna Love. So if you want, definitely Google that. Takes a little bit of time. I think we applied for it about 3 or 4 weeks ago. And now we got our first assignment. And what they're telling us is about every 2 weeks, if you can do it, you'll be assigned another family or another, or it may be the same family, but this is your way of giving back. So very proud of my wife for being a part of that. And hopefully, my wish in all of this is that she gets so good at making lasagna, and she's already a terrific cook, that instead of making two trays, maybe she makes three, and I get a little lasagna, because it's been a long time. In other news, very proud to announce the pandemic was good for me for a couple of reasons. Got to get myself organized, got to get myself my business organized. I looked at every part of my business, from inventory management to employees to customers, things like that. And I had to obviously pivot to survive. So I put more focus on my sign shop and on the promotional products. And you know, I do own Crown Trophy of Flemington. And one of the things that I had was a lot of time on my hands. And so with that, I had two projects in the can that I just didn't have time to finish and complete. And finally I did. My wife kind of prodded me, and she said, you know, you told me you wrote two books. You know, when am I going to see them? So the good news is I'm proud to announce that the first of those books is this project here. It's called The Player. It's a fictional novel. I enjoy the creative process and writing. So The Player will be published in March. I'm looking forward to that launch date. It may be available online a little sooner than that, but the printed copies will be available in March. So far, it's received several really good reviews, and I'm very proud of this work. And my first business book, which I've been talking about, that was also done, but as a result of the pandemic, I think it kind of had to have a bit of a rewrite to include or update certain chapters on the effect of COVID-19, the effect of a pandemic, the effect of outside causes that are way outside of your control, and how they affect your business. And so that is planned for release this summer. It's called The Action Plan, and looking forward to that. And that's a book that's going to take a look at a number of different variables, from being the owner, being the employer, being the employee. It talks about sales, it talks about marketing, it talks about your image as a business, and we're going to get into your image a little later in this broadcast. But I just want to make sure that you put that on your radar. Again, also getting some good reviews from the people, business leaders that I respect from across the country. They said this is almost like a textbook of how to run a good business and how to be a good employer and employee. So The Action Plan, again, due out this summer. We're working on cover design now, and hopefully we'll be able to get that out shortly. So two books finished during the pandemic. Happy to have that. And now I'm racking my brain for what am I going to write about next. So looking forward to that. It's currently about 11:13. I'm going to take a quick break, and when we come back, I want to delve into what we saw last Wednesday during the at the U.S. Capitol, talk about how we got to where we are and where we need to go. You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HuntertonChamberRadio.com.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Hello, this is Nicole Smith, host of Happy to Help. Would you like to discover the secret to happiness? I talk to volunteers, executive directors, fundraisers, and authors about how nonprofit engagement enriches their lives. We thrive when we have a sense of purpose in our lives. Philanthropy is the new community. Tune in to Happy to Help every Wednesday at 10 a.m. to discover how to find your purpose and live well by doing good.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
Everybody over there!
Get on up!
Everybody out there!
Get into it!
Everybody right there!
Get involved!
Everybody, you!
Did you know? The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce has over 20 active committees that you can participate in. Committees range from focus on business and government to economic development to events like our annual business expo. Contact the Chamber for more information today at 908-782-7115 or email us at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HuntertonChamberRadio.com. So glad you could join me. My name is Jim Gano, the host of the program, owner of Crown Trophy of Flemington. And again, glad that you can join me here as we are back in our brand new studios here at the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. Kind of digging this. It's clean. It's neat. It's nice. It's organized. So, and we have the opportunities to have two or three guests in the studio with us. So hopefully, as time goes on, I'll be bringing some folks into the studio to join me as guests. So looking forward to that. So let's talk about the election and where we are right now in America. Now, since November, tensions have been running high here in our country, as half the country thought the election was stolen from them. The other half thought the country was rejoicing in their victory. So Joe Biden was elected as the 46th president of the United States. And already there were cries of hashtag not my president. The same thing we heard from the Democrats 4 years ago when Donald Trump beat Hillary Clinton. And now it's time for everybody to grow the hell up. In this country, there is only ever one president. And next Wednesday, Joe Biden will in fact be your president. You don't have to like the election results or even agree with him, but they have been certified. Mr. Biden will place his hand on a Bible and he'll be sworn in as our 46th president of the United States. He will be our president, all of our president. That's how America works, and that's how it's worked for the last 244 years. So we have to get over it and move on. If you want to see or affect change, start now. A new presidential election isn't going to happen for 4 more years. So you can either run for an office or you can support candidates in your party at the local, county, and state levels. And whether it's at the Board of Education level, sheriff, dog catcher, picket, you have to get involved in the process. So support your party of choice. And we saw a movement, if you will, in the Republican Party this year where people were energized to support their candidate in Donald Trump by attending or hosting rallies, participating in car caravans, flying flags, banners, lawn signs in support of him. That energy and momentum can't stop. You have to get involved and stay involved if you want to see change. So here in New Jersey, I think it's safe to say we need a new governor. And with Doug Steinhardt dropping out of the race on Monday, my friend Jack Chattarelli seems to now be the front runner for the Republican nomination. Maybe if you're a Republican, you would consider volunteering on his campaign. You can check him out at www.jack4nj.com. That's Jack, the number 4, nj.com. So again, it's about getting involved. You can't just sit on the sidelines and complain. You know, and maybe your involvement is simply writing a check to the candidate of your choice. However you want to get involved, making phone calls, stuffing envelopes, attending rallies that your favorite candidate puts on, talking them up to your friends. You know, that's what I'm talking about when I say get involved. But if you're just going to sit on the couch, let everybody else do all the hard work, and then complain because your guy didn't get in, well, that's not really helping anybody. So let's talk about now the siege that happened last week on the U.S. Capitol. Now, I can pretty much guarantee you that some of the things I'm about to say you will either agree with or I'm about to piss you off. If you don't agree with me, then you can go get your own radio show. But these are my observations on what I witnessed last week. Now, while I was at work last Wednesday, I was interested in what the president would say at his rally, and I was also interested in watching the certification of Joe Biden as president. You see, with my background in broadcasting, I've worked in television news, I work in radio, I've written for newspapers, I am a political junkie, I follow this stuff, I watch Democratic debates, Republican debates, I watch elections very closely. So this is of importance to me. On my desk at work, I have two monitors. So one had the live stream I was working on, that I was watching, and the other one I was just doing my regular work. And I could tell that the speakers at the president's rally were trying to fire up the crowd. You could hear that from the president. You could hear it from his sons, Rudy Giuliani, any speaker, all of them. And you could sense that the crowd was getting fired up. And there's several people in the media that I deal with around the country, in Cleveland, Orlando, Arizona, California, Boston. And we've known each other for years. We'll very often text each other our thoughts on what's happening. And I just started putting out a couple of texts because when President Trump said that they should march to the Capitol, I texted a friend of mine who works at a TV news station. I said, did he just say that? And he said, yeah, he did. This is bad. And then I started a timeline, which we often do, for several of us to use to chronicle the events as they happen in real time so we can refer to them later. Think about if, you know, when John Lennon was shot, for instance, you know, when was it first reported? Where did it happen? What time? When was the body moved? You know, when was the person arrested? That's the kind of stuff we do so that we can check our notes later and come back to them. But as I watched the certification process, as they were debating Arizona's results, the speaker, midway through the speech of one of the congressmen, called for a recess, which I thought was extremely odd. And I knew trouble was brewing. Now I went from one monitor to two, and I was scrambling everywhere. I was checking out the Associated Press, Reuters, USA Today, CNN, the BBC, to see if anybody had any video of what was happening. And sure enough, my worst fears were realized when images started appearing of people storming the Capitol. You couldn't tell yet how serious it was, but I knew with the entire Congress assembled, along with the Vice President and Speaker of the House in attendance, a breach of security was going to be a very bad thing. More images started coming out of Secret Service agents with guns drawn at the doors to the chamber. There were reports of shots fired, tear gas being deployed, and more. And over the next several days, we saw more horrifying images and videos of people in riot gear with zip-tie handcuffs and learned of others carrying weapons and incendiary devices into the building. This didn't just happen because the president told them to go to the Capitol. This was planned long before that. You don't plan on bringing pipe bombs with you. You don't plan on bringing mace with you or bringing IEDs with you. This is something that had to be planned long in advance and then carried out. But what was their intent? To harm, or to worse, kill sitting congressmen and women and senators, or has been reported the vice president because he wouldn't decertify the election results? This was, and it can only be described this way, as an insurrection, a rebellion, and some have even called it a coup attempt. It will go down in history as one of the darkest days in American history, the day our countrymen, our own countrymen, invaded our largest symbol of democracy, the United States Capitol, inflicting damage, injury, and death. Now, I want you to put that in context. If you think of certain dates, November 22nd, 1963, Kennedy is shot, the day that the Space Shuttle Challenger blew up, the day that RFK and Martin Luther King Jr. were assassinated, these are dark days, December 7th, 1941. These are the days that are emblazoned in your brain, 9/11, 2001. That you'll never forget. You'll know. You'll remember where you were, who you were with, what you were doing. And I think last Wednesday, for a lot of us, is going to become that type of a day. There really can only be one term used to describe the individuals who entered the Capitol that day, and that term is domestic terrorists. I'm getting a lot of grief from people as I post things about this, but that's exactly what they are.
Every elected official, every law enforcement officer takes an oath to defend the Constitution and defend America from enemies both foreign and domestic. We've never had to deal with the domestic part before. But last week we saw what domestic terrorism looks like. If you don't agree with me, then tell me, what would you call it? It wasn't patriotism. It wasn't expression of free speech. It was terrorism, plain and simple. And everyone involved who breached the Capitol Security Police, who went into that building, everybody involved has the blood of the Capitol Police officer and the woman shot and killed by Secret Service on their hands. Every one of them who took that action are accomplices to murder. Those deaths would not have occurred had they not entered the building. And as a postscript, one other Capitol Police officer and one of the people who entered the building and was subsequently arrested have since killed themselves. So in total, 7 people have died as a result of what happened on January 6th. So then we have to ask the question, was it worth it? What, if anything, was accomplished? Now, with regard to the woman that was killed, Ashley Barrett, by Secret Service, who was a 14-year Air Force veteran, I have taken a lot of heat this past week for describing it as what is known in police circles as a good shoot by the Secret Service. Everyone is painting it as cold-blooded murder and that they shot an innocent person. But a different camera angle tells a different story. If you look at the different camera angles, and I've seen 7 of them so far, she was climbing through a window pane of a door that leads directly to the House floor 50 feet away. She was about to enter the space reserved for the Speaker of the House. Like her, hate her, doesn't matter how you feel about Nancy Pelosi. These people have the positions of power. When you breach that line of security, that last line of defense, and you know, Secret Service officers have sworn to uphold the Constitution and defend the occupants, you're taking that risk. The officer's job was to protect the members of Congress and the vice president, not to ask, can I help you? And when she chose to breach that doorway, she also determined her own fate. And I feel bad for her family that she made the decision she did and lost her life. But the officers were simply doing their job. So again, it's unfortunate that she was shot and killed that way. What would have happened had she gotten through and others gotten through when the vice president's whereabouts were still unknown, Speaker of the House was still unknown, and 535 members of Congress were scrambling to find cover? Let's talk about the Capitol Police officer, Brian Sicknick, a New Jersey native. He tragically lost his life on January 7th following injuries sustained during the events at the United States Capitol on Wednesday. He was hit in the head with a fire extinguisher by one of the protesters. Brian was a veteran and a New Jersey native who served in the New Jersey Air National Guard. During his time, he served the country stateside and in overseas operations. Officer Sicknick joined the United States Capitol Police in July of 2008, and on his most recent assignment, he served on the First Responders Unit. Officer Sicknick shared a passion for the outdoors and became a member of the mountain bike unit with the Capitol Police, patrolling the grounds daily. His fellow officers remember him as someone they could always count on to be there and also could always bring a smile or make them laugh. A GoFundMe page was created on behalf of Brian Sicknick's family with their permission, is being managed by the United States Capitol Police and the officers that served with Officer Sicknick. To date, as of last night, it has raised over $669,000 for the family. Money's great, but I think they would rather have Brian at the dinner table rather than collecting money in his loss. So, and keep in mind, a lot of people have really come down on the Capitol Police. There have been a lot of failures in security along the way here. The Capitol Police has 2,300 police officers. They have a budget of over $500 million. I don't think anybody could have seen this coming. There were a lot of telltale signs that trouble was brewing. The FBI had warnings. New York City Police had gotten warnings. They had passed this on to the Capitol Police. Capitol Police requested additional resources, and it was refused not once, but 7 times. They didn't want to bring the National Guard in when Congress was sitting, figuring that the optics just weren't good enough. I don't know. Again, I'm still sick to my stomach over all the events that I saw last week. We're going to take a break for some news, and when we come back, I'm going to tell you why I have repeatedly stated on this program, image is everything. We're going to go through some of what we saw last week and how it has impacted certain businesses. You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HuntertonChamberRadio.com.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
Jobless claims are rising. The Labor Department reports 965,000 Americans filed for first-time benefits last week, up 181,000 from the previous week's revised level. Bankrate senior economic analyst Mark Hamrick telling USA Radio News.
Worst showing since late August, so that's not moving in the direction we want to be moving in. And I think they can be both at once. Shocking, but not necessarily surprising.
President-elect Joe Biden set to deliver a primetime economic address on Thursday. He also tweeted on Wednesday, in a bipartisan vote, the House voted to impeach and hold President Trump accountable. Biden continues, now the process continues to the Senate, where he hopes they'll deal with their constitutional responsibilities. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Are you struggling with addiction or alcohol problems? If you're depressed, drinking, and using drugs, you may need help. And the Affordable Care Act guarantees coverage of substance abuse.
I knew I could get myself out of this. I just needed some hope and some help.
I took the first step to recovery when I made the call.
Call the Addiction Hope and Helpline now for a free assessment with someone who cares. Call 800-854-1055. 800-854-1055.
I feel like I'm losing control. I'm afraid I'll lose my job or even my family.
Call now for hope and help with proven, gentle recovery programs.
I never thought that I could be somebody who didn't drink and use drugs.
I'm in recovery, getting the help I need.
Call the Addiction Hope and Helpline now for a free assessment with someone who cares. Call 800-854-1055. 800-854-1055. 800-854-1055.
You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HuntertonChamberRadio.com. So glad you could join me. My name is Jim Gano. Been hosting this program for 10 years now, and always look forward to getting together with you on Thursday afternoons. The programming is typically designed around businesses, talking about sales, marketing, things like that, but sometimes outside forces affect business, and we're seeing that now. So I wanted to take this time to talk about a topic that it's a chapter in my upcoming book called The Action Plan, and it's also something that I've talked about on this program ad nauseum, constantly, about what I call image is everything. And just to paraphrase what I've said in the past, if you, your employees and you are always representing your company. So let's say you own Bob's Plumbing. And one of your employees is wearing a Bob's Plumbing t-shirt. It's got your phone number on the back and all that. He takes his girlfriend out to dinner, and in the middle of dinner, she stands up, she throws a glass of wine at him, slaps him across the face, and says, "You bastard," and then storms out of the restaurant. Well, what happens is, when people go home or call their friends or maybe post it on Facebook, they tell their friends, "Hey, you know, not I saw a girl slap a guy at a restaurant." It's, "Hey, I saw a girl slap a guy from Bob's Plumbing at a restaurant." And now you're all of a sudden linked in with whatever that employee did to that woman. Now, again, 100 times I have said image is everything. If your employees are wearing your shirt or your a logo on a shirt with your name on it, if they're driving a company vehicle, and even if they're not, just being a good person in town is, you know, paramount to the image of your business. And you don't want somebody to ruin it. I gave the example last year of a guy, I think he may have actually been a plumber down in South Jersey, who urinated on a monument of a kid at a Little League baseball field. And, you know, that fallout was his father had to fire him from the plumbing business. But the damage is done. You know, if you Google that plumbing business, there's a good chance you're going to come up with a link to that news story, and you're going, am I really going to hire this guy? So last week, because of the fallout from the Capitol, we've seen many, many businesses get a bad reputation because their employees were at the Capitol, stormed the Capitol, and then people start saying, I know that person. It's Bill Jones. He works at, you know, Bob's Plumbing. One idiot was actually wearing his company ID badge. TV viewers and people on the internet blew up a picture of the ID badge. They reported him to his company. A woman who was a prominent real estate agent in Chicago posted videos of her inside the Capitol. And let's just say she's no longer a prominent real estate agent in Chicago. Even a state representative posted pictures of himself and has since resigned his post. I believe he was from West Virginia. Image is everything. And you have to train your employees on this. And you have to remind them of this all the time. You have to be reinforcing it all the time. Anytime they're wearing company apparel on duty or on at work or off work, they represent your company. If they're driving your vehicle and they cut somebody off or they start giving people the finger or they're speeding or weaving, you know, how many times have you seen that bumper sticker on the bottom of cars that say, how's my driving? Have you ever called that number and said, I'd like to report that, you know, your driver is an idiot? But that's where image is everything. It is so important. You have to be constantly telling your employees when you're in uniform, you represent this company. It also happens in the business. You know, how you deal with customers, how they see, like if two guys are thinking they're having a private conversation and maybe it's a little racy, but someone hears that in the lobby, that's a reflection on the whole company. So you have to emphasize to them that the eyes of the world are upon you and upon them, and that negative press, you know, there's that old expression, any press is good press. It's not true in business. Negative press is going to have a bad impact on your company. And we've seen it time and time again where companies get some bad press. Maybe the CEO does something or employees do something, and all of a sudden they start losing contracts and things like that. So, again, this would be a good time at the beginning of the year to remind your employees of their responsibility to maintain the image of the company. And if they're going to go to a rally or something like that, tell them to leave your company T-shirt at home that day. I want to talk about the president's response, because this has also gotten a lot of press recently. And as far as the president's response to the violence that happened last week, it can only be described as too little, too late. He came on TV 4 hours after the siege began and told people to go home and that we love you. And what do you mean we love you? He might. I don't. They are criminals. They are murderers. And I hope that the FBI charges all of them with the most severe crimes that they can. Jail time needs to be served. Many are worried that Trump might pardon all of them, and that would be the worst crime of all. I have no sympathy. If a person gets arrested and after what they did, I have no sympathy for them. I can't justify it in any way. They did find, I just got an alert, that the person who was carrying the Confederate flag through the Capitol, him and his son have since been arrested. And kudos to everyone out there who is looking at these pictures and helping the FBI identify them. I think that we need to kind of, and I hate, it's almost as if law and order has become a cliche term this year, but I think that that's what we have to get back to. We have laws, we have to respect those laws, and then we will return order. This next one is, when I wrote this, I said, boy, I might be pissing off a lot of people here tomorrow. I could lose my whole audience with this, but I really don't care. I'll find another audience. I want to talk to you for a minute about radicalization. Now, when terror occurs in other parts of the world, you often hear the term that the perpetrator was radicalized. And usually this is referenced in regards to a certain religion, maybe Muslim or Islam or something, whose studies, when taught incorrectly, can lead them down to a more sinister role in plotting mass casualty events. You think of people wearing vests with bombs and trying to inflict as much harm as possible. It's that term radicalization, that something's gone off in their brain where now they're not thinking sensibly, they become radicalized. And I think we have to look at the people who attack the Capitol not as energized, as some of the people in the media have characterized, but rather as being radicalized. Now, again, before I brought this to the show, I mentioned this to some people that I respect. I said, what do you think if I use this term on my show? And they said, and they all said the same thing. They said, you know, radicalized, energized, what's the difference? You know, but it's almost as if the followers of Trump, who had been very passionate in their support for him, when they stormed that Capitol, when they broke through the barriers, when they injured police, when they killed a police officer, you've gone far above the passion level. You've gone far above the energized level. You are at that point radicalized. And I know not everyone's going to agree with me on this, but I think it bears further review as to what makes a person breaks into the United States Capitol with the intent of capturing the vice president. One person, or many people were screaming, hang Mike Pence, looking for the Speaker of the House, and people saying, kill Nancy Pelosi, and to participate in the destruction of federal property on that scale. You've gone far above passion. You've gone far above energy. You're in a whole different plane, and I think that we can call it radicalization, and that, again, it kind of plays into what I started the show with. These are domestic terrorists. And I believe the term radicalized, which is usually reserved for religious groups, could be applied here, only instead of a religion, again, it's in support of a political group. Now, where are we at now? It is the 14th. So in 6 days, we're going to have an inauguration of Joe Biden. That happens next Wednesday. He'll take office as the 46th president of the United States. And as with other inaugurations, this one will be held outside with millions of people in attendance. I think it's a safe bet that there will be Trump supporters in that crowd. I think they will be, let's not call them radicals, let's call them disruptors, if you will. And they may disrupt the inauguration or cause trouble with Biden supporters on the ground. Increased security measures, including the deployment of 20,000 National Guard troops, 9-foot-high fencing to the Capitol area, are already underway. If you saw the news last night, you saw that thousands of National Guardsmen were sleeping in the Capitol Rotunda on the marble floor. They're there to protect that building. They're there to protect our elected officials. And they're there for all of us as well to protect democracy. I think they are owed a huge debt of gratitude by sane, normal citizens. So hopefully we won't need 20,000 National Guard troops. And it's my hope that nothing happens. But how can you ensure the safety of the incoming president in a group that large? How can you assure me that, you know, an expert marksman isn't going to try to take a shot, you know, from some level at some people on that dais? My personal suggestion would be to televise Joe Biden taking his oath of office in the Supreme Court chambers and then dispense with all the pomp and circumstances until tempers die down. You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on 100inchamberradio.com. We're going to step away for a break. When we come back, we'll have some more thoughts on last week's events. We'll be right back.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Everybody over there!
Get on up!
Everybody out there!
Did you know? The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce has over 20 active committees that you can participate in. Committees range from focus on business and government to economic development to events like our annual business expo. Contact the Chamber for more information today at 908-782-7115 or email us at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business. And I'll be taking care of business every day. Taking care of business every way. I've been taking care of business. It's all mine. Taking care of business and working overtime for help.
You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HuntertonChamberRadio.com. So glad you could join me. My name is Jim Gannot. I am the host of the program, and getting together with you every week is probably the highlight of my week, getting together every Thursday afternoon. New time. We used to be on at noon. We're now on at 1 o'clock. We've altered the schedule here at Hunterdon Chamber Radio because we try to disinfect in between shows, make sure that it's safe for all of our hosts, and so hopefully we're doing a good job with that. Very encouraged by the shows I've seen and watched so far this week. I think everybody's been doing just a fantastic job on their shows. Some people have already brought guests in. Had a new show with Victoria on yesterday, and it looks like the scheduling will fill up. But overall, I'm encouraged that Hunterdon Chamber Radio is back, baby. So let's talk again a little bit about what happened last week. After the insurrection of the Capitol, Democrats were calling for the impeachment of President Trump or for Vice President Mike Pence to invoke the 25th Amendment. Now, he refused to do that, and yesterday's hearings began and votes were taken, and President Trump received a second impeachment, the only president to ever be impeached twice. The Senate will have to take this up and hold a trial, but Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell has said he will not bring the Senate back until the 19th of January, one day before the inauguration. Barring his resignation, it looks as if President Trump will complete his term as president. The question now is whether or not he hands himself a pardon, which, according to the Constitution, he can do. But it'll be interesting to see whether or not he, in fact, does try to pardon himself or family members or anybody else who could be accused of these high crimes and misdemeanors. More fallout from the siege at the Capitol. Twitter, the platform that President Trump used most often to communicate with the American people, has banned President Trump for life from using their platform. Facebook and Instagram followed suit, saying their suspension was temporary, at least through the inauguration. A newer platform that many people were switching to, called Parler, has been dropped from the Apple Store, Google Play, and Amazon hosting services, in effect shutting that service down. So the question is this censorship? And if people want to freely discuss what is on their mind, why do these companies feel the need to squelch them? Why is it that the Chinese government, the Ayatollah of Iran, and various pedophiles can still be on these platforms, but the President of the United States and individual citizens can't use them? These are dangerous times, my friend. Dangerous times when the messaging is being controlled from just one perspective. There's been a lot of discussion over the mainstream media and how it had such a democratic slant leading up to this election. And if you were watching it for the last 20 years, you could say at the same time they were trying to push their agendas. And many executives in networks, including CNN and ABC, have basically told their staff, this is our narrative, you will follow it. It'll be interesting to watch how this censorship, this squelching, plays out over the next several weeks and or months. Hopefully it's over after the inauguration, and Parler will be back up so that people can discuss topics freely. I've titled this next story, Friends Don't Let Friends. And in the past, you know, the old drunk driving slogan, friends don't let friends drive drunk. So question for everybody is, how many friends do you have? And I mean true friends, not Facebook friends. True friends that you go to dinner with, you vacation with, you text regularly, you call regularly, you go to their house for dinners, you celebrate birthdays. Maybe I would have 10 total that fit that category. Maybe 12. And as I mentioned earlier, I stated a timeline that several of us in the media often use to chronicle events as they happen in real time so that we can refer to them later. We add to it as important information happens, and we timestamp it for later use. This is basically for our use. We're not putting it out there so other people can comment. It's just, hey, this happened at 12:15, this happened at 12:26, this happened at 12:42. Now, there's a person who follows me, is a Facebook friend. She's a woman, and for the past 4 years, she has constantly been bashing Donald Trump. Even before he was inaugurated, she was calling for his impeachment. And she made a comment on this particular timeline post that I put up during the siege at the Capitol. I didn't invite anybody to post. I didn't turn off comments because I didn't have time. But there she was posting again her dislike for Trump. Now, when we talk about Facebook friends, you have to be careful. Some people you know, some people you might be casual acquaintance with, but Facebook calls them your friend. So one of my 656 friends took exception to what the first woman said, and she private messaged her, and I guess she called her some nasty names. She possibly even threatened her. I saw none of those texts or those messages. The first woman then posted on her timeline, using my name, that I had to fix this. I had to fix it? Wait a minute. You post something, someone else disagrees with it, and I don't know what was said or not said, and now I have to fix this? Where is the responsibility and the accountability in all of this? In my upcoming business book, The Action Plan, which is due out this summer, I have a chapter titled, If You Say It, You Own It. You've heard me say that on this program, I don't know, 100 times, you know, maybe. But if you say it, you own it. How many times have we seen an athlete say something, a politician say something, a celebrity say something, and then within hours, they're retracting the statement. That's not what I meant. That's not what he said. What I meant to say was this. We saw it with Drew Brees, with Black Lives Matter, and everything else. And again, if you say it, I think Americans are pretty smart people. And if we say something, if it's going to come out of our mouth, we've probably given it some thought before we said it. So if you say it, you own it. And really, I didn't have to write anything else in that chapter because the title says it all. So while one woman says something that pisses off another woman, she has to own it, not me. It is so easy to be Captain Courageous behind a keyboard and monitor. But when someone takes exception to what you say, you have a choice. Own it or retract it. Don't look for someone else, especially me, to come in and mop up your messes. She asked in her post, what was I going to do about it? Because we were friends. Now, we've known each other since grade school, but I wouldn't call her a true friend. We've never gone out to dinner. We never really socialized. And we were acquaintances, you know, in those school years, but we were never really friends. I've never been to her house. She's never been to my house. So I told her, after careful reflection, I wasn't going to do anything about it. You make the bed, you lie in it. You say it, you own it. Plain and simple. Don't look for me to come in and start mopping up your messes. Love him or hate him, Bill Belichick has refused to accept the Presidential Medal of Freedom. And I think you have to respect him for that. New England Patriots coach Bill Belichick said Monday that he will not move forward with the Presidential Medal of Freedom that Donald Trump planned to present him today. Belichick explained his decision in a statement saying, "Recently I was offered the opportunity to receive the Presidential Medal of Freedom, which I was flattered by out of respect for what the honor represents and the admiration for its prior recipients. Subsequently, the tragic events of last week occurred, and the decision has been made not to move forward with the award. Above all, I am an American citizen with great reverence for our nation's values, freedom, and democracy. I know I also represent my family and the New England Patriots team. One of the most rewarding things in my professional career took place in 2020 when, through the great leadership within our team, conversations about social justice, equality, and human rights moved to the forefront and became actions." And you see how Belichick put his family, his own image, and the image of the New England Patriots team before the highest honor that can be given to an American citizen. He continues, "Continuing those efforts while remaining true to the people, team, and country I love outweigh the benefits of any individual award. The Presidential Medal of Freedom was established by John F. Kennedy in 1963. It is awarded by the President to individuals who have made exceptional contributions to the security of national interest of America, to world peace, or to cultural or other significant public or private endeavors." Belichick, who's 68 years old, just concluded his 46th season in the NFL and 21st as the Patriots head coach. He's led the Patriots to 6 Super Bowl championships, joining George Halas and Curly Lambeau as the only coaches with 6 championships since the league began postseason play in 1933. Belichick's 311 victories, regular season and playoffs combined, are third all-time behind Don Shula at 347 and George Halas at 324. In other Trump news, the PGA has announced they are pulling the PGA Championship from Trump's golf course in Bedminster, New Jersey, which was originally scheduled to be played in 2022. And New York City has canceled all contracts with the Trump Organization, which total $17 million. That includes the Woolman Rink and Carousel in Central Park. So, a pretty bad week for Donald Trump. But to summarize the program today, before we do that, I do want to talk about one other issue. At Christmas time, a lot of people probably went out and bought gift cards for friends. A recent survey estimated that over $3 billion with a B dollars in gift cards go unredeemed each year. So while you think you're giving a great gift to somebody, if they don't use it, only the retailer wins. The person you gave the card to doesn't benefit because they don't cash it in, and you feel as unappreciated because they never tell you how much they enjoyed it. In this case, the old term, it's the thought that counts, might actually be more valuable than the gift. So just to sum up the program today, again, very worried about the inauguration next week. Hopefully there won't be any trouble. Image is everything in your business, and make sure, take the time to sit with your employees this week, next week, and just review some of that with them. Can these people who were identified be fired? Yes, they can. The Society of Human Resource Managers has weighed in on this and said that there is cause for firing an employee, terminating an employee who participated in last week's events at the Capitol. I'll have more on that next week as well. Next week's program, we'll talk about setting goals for this year. And I know it's hard because a lot of people are still out of work. Other people are working, but goals have to be adjusted. We'll talk about adaptability. We got a lot coming up for you here on the program, Taking Care of Business. And as a reminder, we'll be getting together every Thursday at 1 p.m. so hopefully you can join us for that. Again, if you say it, you own it. So, and particularly in these times when passions are running high, it's a good idea to think before you speak. You know, as your mama probably told you, you know, if you don't have anything nice to say, don't say anything at all. It's pretty darn good advice from mama. And hopefully we'll all take that to heart. But again, if you say it, you own it. I didn't say it. And then finally, again, talking about your image, your company's image. Don't let somebody that works for you ever screw up your company's reputation. Make sure they're aware of how their words, their actions can impact the people's reflection of your business. Because I would hate to think of a person who's like me, who spent 12 years building my business, have it all torn apart by one person's careless actions. So make sure that everybody's on the same page with that. My email address, and I'll mention this in the closing as well, is trophyjim@yahoo.com. If there's any topics of conversation you want me to bring up on future shows, email me there. Feel free to give me a call. If there's issues affecting your business that you want to talk about, by all means, email me, and I'll do the research so that we can come up with some kind of a solution for you. Well, as always, it's been my pleasure joining you today, and I always end the show with some advice I got from my father when I was just 6 years old that guides me in my personal and professional life every day. Maybe you can use it in your lives as well when he said, never let it rest until your good is better and your better is best. If you have ideas for upcoming program topics or guests, email me at trophyjim@yahoo.com, or you can connect with me on LinkedIn, on Twitter at JimGano83, or on Facebook on the show's page, Taking Care of Business with Jim Gano. For more information about me and my businesses, visit www.jimgano.com. I am Jim Gano, and I'm taking care of business. Make it a productive week, everybody. And I'll be taking care of business every day. Taking care of business every way. I've been taking care of business. It's all mine. Taking care of business. And working overtime for help. We'll be right back.
Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org. For over 50 years, Hunterdon Medical Center has been a leader in delivering comprehensive medical and health services to our community. Our staff is committed to providing the highest quality of care to our patients. If you need a physician, we can refer you to over 300 of the best. Call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.